Hi guys, this is a quick summary for our little lurker thread. So hopefully you can hear this audio properly because I'm just doing it on my iPod while I'm sitting at lunch and I've tried to hide from everyone so that I can get this done even though it was due a couple of days ago. It's just been one of those weekends, I'm afraid. And I feel like I have been the lurker slash shirker. I'll start with a really quick summary in the lurking area, and I'll say a really quick thank you to Jill because she has summarized down towards the bottom of the whole forum the whole thing really beautifully. So let's have a look. So a couple of things. She summarized a few great things. There's some privacy issues with lurkers. What else do we need to consider? Well, what kind of a student do we have? What kind of participation style? Are they the kind of person who learns best by sitting back, reflecting, and posting something towards the end? Or are they a very hands-on, kind of aesthetic, communicative type of individual? What kind of other pressures are going on outside the discussion board, in the workplace, the home? Is lurking a sin? Is our course fundamentally structured right? And do we have a sense of community there at all that is really encouraging our lurkers to come out? And many of you have actually confessed on our lurker board that you are indeed lurkers and have actually been really proactive, which has been fantastic. So some of the strategies and things that have been suggested, I'm going to start at the top and work down, and it actually ironically starts with one of the later posts with Barbara, who brought up the topic of the subject of the word shirker. So a couple of things. One of the things Barbara was saying her area is looking at doing next year is bringing in a bit of a how's it going call from the instructors in the first 3 to 4 weeks as an idea. And it's a more democratic approach to handling students and the lurkers slash shirkers so that they won't feel, targeted in particular. Okay. Let's see what else. I'm just scrolling down here. I'm squished up on my laptop in a corner. Try not to talk very loudly. All right. Okay. What others? Some people have suggested having a bit of a check-in activity that is a very small kind of non-confrontational, maybe things, small ideas about things they've found valuable so far and things that they've found challenging. And again, this goes back to the design of our course and how I guess we, this almost goes beyond the icebreakers, but more in terms of how we're warming up our students in the educational design or the pedagogical design of the course construct. And Gabby New makes a really valid point about in our classroom we have people who are listeners rather than talkers, and again that is a valid point within our online context, so we do need to consider that. Richard confesses to being a lurker and says the best way for him to join a conversation, whether it's online or face-to-face, is to actually be asked a direct question, though he is aware that there are people who can be intimidated by that. So maybe that is a tactic that could be applied, actually asking our students a direct question. Sometimes I do know if I have a student who is maybe not technically a lurker, but maybe putting an answer on the board that is more... not really critically well thought out, not a lengthy response that I would see showing that more critical thinking or reflective thought processes that I would like to see, but a more blunt, cursory thing, then I might actually pose a question and try and draw them out. So that, I guess, becomes my direct questioning technique. And I don't do it just with them. I will do it with others to actually spread the love, so to speak, but it's really that person that I am actually targeting with that model. Denise has had a lot of random thoughts bubbling around in her head, so I'm really glad to see she's using that kind of downtime. Not that she's downtime at work, but you know, that space to pull together her thoughts, which is the attractive side of this asynchronous mode of communication. So she was saying that posting to just the one participant is that kind of spotlighting someone. So that's a really salient point. So she's got the suggestive approach of maybe the email or the phone. And again, we don't know what else has happened or is happening outside of the online environment. And also, Denise has also suggested there, and she's actually correct, there's a lot of literature out there about engaging our online students and hooking them into encouraging online interaction. So, okay. And there's the other question. Will it be the end of the world if she doesn't enter the discussion? Do they need to? Okay. So lots and lots of really good things in there. Let's see, I'm just scrolling through. One of the questions Richard had was why she chose to enroll online. Were other forms available? Maybe not, or it might depend on their location. I've got a student in Egypt. Yeah, he's enrolled at ECU because he's basically just gotten married, his wife's pregnant, and they can't come back until she's had the baby. So he's just still progressing his study, and so he needs to do it online. So that's a really good scenario. There's a scenario as to why he's doing it online. Okay. Look, and I guess that's one of the bottom lines about all of this is I kind of sometimes, oh, it's it. Lalini said we had the thing, there's language. Our international students obviously may not be as comfortable posting on forums, particularly if they're concerned about the construct of their written English, is something we need to consider. And so that's why it's really important that we do have that sense of community is important, and that creating of trust for all of our students. I guess, and one of the things I did want to highlight really importantly is, and I do this, I liken this back to a relationship, that the in customer service training, 8% of customers are never happy. And it doesn't matter how many students I have online. We do get the attrition rate. You do find out why some of them drop out, and they're the ones that just stay enrolled, and you never hear from them. They never log in. They never post. It doesn't matter how many emails you send or how many phone calls you send. You just don't. It's just like they cease to exist, and you can only do what you can do, and you're never going to. It'll be, to get that 100% engagement is really, really challenging. And you guys just know how hard you are yourselves as really engaged, keen people and learners in this course just for a short 3 weeks, how hard it is to get in, suck up the learning, process it cognitively, respond to the things you're interested in just because of what's going on in our lives. Myself just getting this summary is 3 days late and I need a good smack. And that's just because of just the set of circumstances that have happened for me in the last 3 days. That's reality. Lurkers, sometimes they do have that place to play in the ecosystem of the online environment. And I do know that a lot of my lurker, inverted commas, students, when they do post, and it might be several weeks in, they have been there and they have been distilling and digesting and reflecting and synthesizing data and material. And when they do post, it is really worth hearing. And the response of the other students is very, when that sense of community has been well built, is very warm and welcoming, and you can actually tell that they actually can tell that those other people have actually been engaged and listening and learning. So the lurkers, don't be scared of them, is what I say, and it's just about keeping the channels of communication open. So there you go, and sorry this was a slightly different summary, but kind of had to be because I'm doing it on the run in class. Okay, going now because I'm being called. Bye bye.